Matthew chapter 6. Each one of us has desires. There's things that we want to attain in our life and we want to happen and we want to come to pass. And God has put those desires and dreams in your heart. And so we really want to see these things happen in our life. Like, God wants us to be blessed. He wants us to enjoy the life. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to have a great relationship with Him. And in Matthew chapter 6, in first verse 3, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So now we know, we read the context, it tells you. So what we're going to do, we go back and we look at verse 19. "Lay not up for yourself treasures or thoughts upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through to steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be flooded with light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is the darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, not yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Yes, you are. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Why are you worrying about your clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." And we know that Solomon was a very rich man. "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" So it's available to have little faith. And the little faith is when we're focusing on the things of this world, focusing on how are we going to get these things. How are these desires going to come to pass? And then what happens is we start to chase those desires rather than depend upon God to open up the doors for us and provide them for us. "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek." Gentiles was the unbelieving nations, right? "For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." God knows your needs. And what a comfort to think that God knows all your needs. He knows everything that you need. What you need that's going to keep you sustained in life. That's going to keep your body, soul and spirit fed and supplied. God knows how to supply you. God knows how to provide for you spiritually, mentally, physically. Here is talking more about the physical things, which is very important, because the physical can affect the mental and the mental can affect the spiritual, right? So Jesus is showing us how, or showing the disciples here, how to have your hearts and thoughts in order, to have your thoughts well arranged, knowing that God is the provider of your needs. And this is what we should be focused on, where it says in verse 33, "But," which puts it in contrast to all those things that he just said, "seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." God doesn't want you worried about your wages. He doesn't want you worried about how you're going to pay your rent, how you're going to pay your debts, right? If those things are there, they need to be taken care of, right? But he's going to supply that. And we all have these challenges. Believe me, we all get them. He knows that your car might need a new engine, or your tyres might need to be changed because they're going bald, and it's against the law to drive a car with bald tyres, right? He knows when you need to pay your rent, when you need to pay your council tax, when you need to pay all these bills that are going on. And he doesn't want you worried about it. He doesn't want you worried about it, me worried about it. because it takes our focus off him and it steals our peace. So he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, all your needs, shall be added unto you. The things that you lack in or that you don't have right now will be added to you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. In other words, everything tomorrow is already stacked up there for you, right? It's going to be okay. God's going to take care of it. Just focus in a 24-hour period. You can't live tomorrow or next week or next month or next year even. But you can live right now. And God wants your thoughts on him right now. He wants to be number one, the first. And he helps you to do this, but you need to have your mind lined with the truths of what he's saying to you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is their evil of. You've got enough to deal with today rather worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. And God wants you to really go to him. He wants you to lay everything at him. Because he was saying about the moth and the rust, which is like worries and fears. It's the worries and fears that steal your thoughts and your peace. And then it takes your focus off God. And God doesn't want you to worry. He doesn't want you to fear. He doesn't want you to doubt. Because worry and fear issues in doubt, which issues in unbelief. So that's why God wants you to don't worry about those things. Guys, you just seek me. Seek my way. Ask me for the work that I've got for you. Pray for the laborers. Like, still, pray for the laborers. Jesus Christ encouraged his disciples to pray for the laborers. I will say that's still a good thing to pray for, right? Like, Father, I'm not going to pray for my physical things. In fact, I'm not going to put all my attention there. Yeah, I pray and give them to you. I cast my cares to you because you care for me. But my focus is going to be on what you want me to pray for, which is number one, the laborers. Father, send me a laborer. Send the laborers into the harvest and give me a new field to work in. Give me people that I can share your word with, that I can do what you've called me to do. But Father, I want to do what you want me to do. Father, I determine right now I'm going to do what you put in my heart to do. And so when you're not worrying about everything else, you're not distracted with everything else, you can have a free flow of thoughts with God. If you go to Philippians, but I want to read Philippians chapter 2. It is the Aramaic Peshitta New Testament translation by Janet Majora. And this is just really great. Philippians chapter 2. And in verse 13 it says, for God energizes you to will as well as to perform what you desire. What does it say in your King James Bible?
For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
For God energizes you to will as well as to perform what you desire. So God is working in you. Like, God is really working in you. And when we're still in our hearts and we're not worrying about everything else, we can see God working us. We can hear his voice. And if you determine to do what God shows you to do, not what the leader shows you to do, or another ministry or another minister, but do what God is putting in your heart to do, you will become fruitful for God, right? You will become fruitful for God. My job as a leader is to get you to go to God. Because it's God that's working in your heart, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now here guide you if you need to come see me or another or Kim. Right here guide you on those things. Right? But God is a God of order, as we read earlier on in 1 Corinthians 14:33. That God is not the author of confusion, but a God of what? Peace, as in all the churches of the saints. But I quite like this usage here. For God energizes you to will as well as to perform what your desire. Do everything without murmuring and without division, so that you will be innocent and without blemish, as pure sons of God who are living in a perverted and crooked generation, and be seen among them as lights in this world. See, when we're arguing, when we got division amongst us, how we shine as lights? Is our life on a parallel with unbelievers, or is it on a parallel with what God says we should be and who he's called us to be? Because God is really for you. He really wants to give you the desires of your heart. There's only one requirement, and that is to seek him first. That is to put him first. That that what he wants is above everything that you want. If you put that priority, that everything that he wants is above what you want, and you keep him first, he'll also bless you. We're in a relationship with God, and he wants to bless you. He wants you to have those things. But if you're way out in your mind and understanding and you get blessed with those things, you'll probably squander it, waste it, won't appreciate it, won't recognise it's from God. Can you see? And we've got to recognise the goodness of God in our lives. That God really has blessed us with every single day. All right, and that he's given us things that we can do to be blessed and to be prosperous and to bless other people. Can you see? And I noticed that really God doesn't want us focused on in reach, always working on ourselves. Yeah, can you see? And shall I tell you why? Because God has given you the Spirit. He's given you Holy Spirit so that you can move. Right? If you're trying to perfect your mind and your flesh to do the will of God, you're never going to do it. Right? But when you recognize that God has given you Holy Spirit and it's Him that's working in you, He will lead you and show you what you need to do. When we follow that way, it's the quickest way. But if we think that we got to get everything right in our minds and understanding, and that we got to live it right before God's going to bless us, then it's not how God moves. How God moves is when you do what he shows you to do, regardless of how the things are. If your heart is single towards God, and you're determined to do what he says, and then God gives you a direction and you do that, you'll find things move very smoothly, yeah? Rather than trying to do it all yourself. You're saying, well, I better study this, and this is going to make me right, because then I'll have the proper understanding. Mm. God is working with you. He'll give you the proper understanding as well. Right? We have to be Spirit-led. Everything we do, even when it comes to researching scriptures, has to be Spirit-led. Has to be by inspiration of God. Has to be Him directing and working in us to do those things. And then if it is God, the acid test is God, is that there will be fruit. If we have not got fruit after years of researching and studying, then are we moving by the Spirit of God? See, there's a balance with everything. And God will give us that balance as we're walking with Him and doing what He puts in our heart. And ask God to lead you. And if you've got a negative mindset, if your mind's negative on things all the time, then it's a wrong mindset, because that's not God's mindset. See, we should be looking at things in a positive way, in a right way, in a beautiful way, in a successful manner. See, the hurdles that we don't jump over is the ones where we're not believing God. Because there's no hurdles for God. It's just where our faith is. And if our faith is connected to God, then we can jump any hurdle. We can overcome any problem, any mountain. See, so God is really with you. And this is the encouragement I want to give you, is that God is with you, and that he's given you Holy Spirit. Let's go to Acts 19. Right, I'll read it from the Aramaic Peseta. And it said, and while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul travelled around in the upper regions and came to Ephesus. And he asked the disciples whom he found there, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered and said unto him, we have not even heard if there is a Holy Spirit. He said unto them, then in what were you baptized? They said, into the baptism of John, by water. Right, that was the baptism of John. Verse 4, Paul said unto them, John baptized the people with the baptism of repentance, telling them to believe in him who would follow him, who is Jesus Christ. Okay? And after they heard these things, they were baptized in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. They received Holy Spirit, and Paul laid a hand on them, and the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in different languages and prophesied. What does it say in King James in verse 6?
And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied.
Right. Okay, so these guys were operating under the baptism of John because they didn't hear about Holy Spirit. And then Paul come along, and then he laid his hands upon them, and then they received Holy Spirit, and all the men were 12. There were 12 men there, right? So the word gives us the details, who was there and where it was. And Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, and was persuading them about the kingdom of God. And some of them were hardened, and we're striving against and revealing the way of God, sorry, and reviling the way of God before the assemblies of the Gentiles. Then Paul distanced himself and separated disciples from them, and every day he was speaking to them in the school of a man whose name was Tyrannus. Now, verses 7 through to 9, someone read out, please.
And all the men were about 12, and he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus.
Right, so we see there that obviously Paul was having challenges because people were hardening their hearts against what he was speaking. But what did he do? He separated himself. So where you're getting it tough, you separate yourself, right? And he went with the ones that wanted to learn, the ones that wanted to move, the ones that were going to follow the encouragement and follow the, you know, direction that Paul was giving. And Paul was giving direction for them to how to move, all right? And verse 10, it says, and this continued for 2 years unto all who lived in Asia, Judeans and Armenians, heard the word of the Lord. So the whole of Asia Minor was massive, right? And in 2 years and 3 months, the whole place heard the word. It was a massive place. And so what do you think Paul was teaching them? He was teaching them to walk with God, to walk by this Holy Spirit. And God was doing great miracles by the hand of Paul. So that even from the coats that were on his body, handkerchief or pieces of cloth were brought and placed on the sick, and the sickness went away from them, and demons also went out. Now that's walking with a bit of authority there. That's walking with a bit of power. There was some believing going on there. And that's what we need to do. We need to believe that this is the God that we believe, and the Jesus Christ that we believe, and the Holy Spirit that we believe we have, is the exact same thing that we're reading about. And it can be operated. It can be manifest in this way. We just got to put our hearts to God. We got to trust God with all our heart. We got to look only to God. We got to go to Him. And some Judeans, verse 13, who traveled about and exercised demons, were also wanting to exercise in the name of the Lord Jesus, who had unclean spirits, saying, we exercise you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. These guys weren't even born again, but they wanted to do what Paul was doing, because they were seeing something different. They were seeing something powerful. And there were 7 sons of a certain Judean man, a chief priest, whose name was Sceva, who was doing this. And that wicked demon answered and said to them, the demon said, the devil spirit answered and spoke and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Can you imagine that? They weren't even born again. They wanted to cast spirits out by using the name of Jesus Christ. But the devil spirit knew they weren't believers. He said, Paul I know. The devil spirits knew Paul. It's just amazing. Paul I know, but who? Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? You're nothing. You haven't got the Spirit of God type of thing, right? And the man who had the evil spirit leapt on them, overcame them, and cast them down. And being naked and wounded, they fled from the house. So this guy who had the spirit, and the spirit spoke for him, beat him up. This devil spirit in them used the man to beat them up. And this was known by all the Judeans and Armenians who lived in Ephesus, and fear fell on all of them, and the name of the Lord Jesus was lifted up. And many of those who believed came and declared their faults and confessed what they had done. Wow. See, this is when the power of the Holy Spirit is moving. This is the things that we should be seeing. Signs, miracles, wonders, people coming and repenting, changing direction and changing their hearts to Jesus Christ. And many sorcerers also gathered their books and brought them and burnt them before everyone. And they counted the price, and the silver amounted to 5,000 pieces. So all the people that were worshipping devil spirits, practicing curious arts, all of the money that they spent on these things, they brought and they burnt it all up. And so, with great power of the faith of God, grew strong and increased. I want someone to read verse 20 again.
So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed.
Because God was first. Things were moving. God was working in each believer's heart as they believe God. See, it's not about inreach, guys. Listen, God will take care of your needs as you keep him first. As you keep going to God first, and then if you need ministering, ministering's available. If there's something that comes up, we can get together and pray and get the need met. But really, it's outreach. That's what our call is outreach. Being that witnesses. But if we're focused on ourselves all the time, oh, what's going wrong with me? Why isn't this happening? Why is this happening? We're never going to outreach, can you see? Because we won't have the faith to do it, because we're too much focused on our own needs. We're too much focused on what's not happening, rather than looking on to God who can make the things happen. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to look to him. He wants us to go to him. He doesn't want us to be focused on what we don't have. He wants us to be focused on what we do have and move by the Spirit of God and use what we do have, which is the Spirit of God. Yeah, walk by it. Father, what do you want me to do today? I come to you. I think if we spent more time praying than thinking about what was wrong with us and what we need in our lives, and we just go to God, that we seek his heart. Father, I give everything to you. Right, that's out the way now. Father, what do you want me to do? I really want to move for you. I really want to speak your word. I really want to declare and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I really want to see people raised from the dead and come out of darkness and into your light, come out of the bondage of the enemy, and to be led by your Spirit, Father, that they become born again, that they can have the joy and the freedom that you've given me, and that you've made available to all those that believe on Jesus Christ. Father, give me your work to do. Give me the fields. Father, send the labourers out. That's where our focus really should be. If you go, I encourage you to read the book of Acts. And I've encouraged that before. I don't know if anyone's ever done it. Right? But see how God... How did Paul move the word? How did he do it? It wasn't through his knowledge. It wasn't through his own knowledge. Not even of the Old Testament scriptures. It wasn't through his knowledge. Okay? But it was by revelation. He was moving with God. He was being fed what to do. He was being obedient to the voice of God. And then he connected these people to God. We need to connect people to God, not us. See, that's the truth of it. That's why, it's like I said to you the other week, I haven't got no rights to tell you what to do. My job is to hold forth the truth to you, to encourage you, to exhort you with the scriptures, to exhort you by what God's given me to say. Okay, to help nurture and guide you, okay, just by what I feed in you. But it's up to you to take it to God and move it with God. It's up to you to search the scriptures, up to you to speak by the Spirit of God. It's up to you to be led by that Spirit. And if you're worried all the time about what's going on in your life or by what's not going on in your life, then you get choked up with the cares of this world, and then you become what? Unfruitful. It's like that seed that fell in that stony place, you know what I mean? Where the cares of the world made the believer unfruitful. We want to be fruitful. Yeah. It's like, it doesn't matter to me if anyone they ain't listening either, because I know I'm feeding you the right things. I know that God has given me what to give to you. And I know by the word, and I know by what he's working in my heart, and I also know by what's happening in your own lives. Right, you've got to turn your hearts to God. You've got to seek God first. You've got to be determined to do what God is showing you to do and not let anyone stop you from doing it. And yeah, there's overseers that can help guide you. But once they've given that information, just like once God gives you information, it's totally up to you to act upon it. We can rely on our own self, our own theology or understanding of things, and stay in a tradition of unbelief where nothing happens. Or we can break the tradition, come out of bondage, and move with the one true God. And God really wants you to move with him, and he really wants you to be fruitful. He really wants to give you the desires of your heart. And he really is for you, and he loves you, and he knows your heart's desires. He knows your needs. He knows what's going on in your mind, your thoughts. He knows what's happening in your bodies. And he says, my child, I've supplied all of these things in my son. So come to me. Who said it in manifestations? It was in manifestations, wasn't it? About giving you, why aren't you giving your cares to me? Yeah. Right? God spoke these things through the manifestations also. Why aren't you giving your cares to me? So go to God. And once you've given them to God, you've got to think to yourself, oh, I don't need to worry about this now because I've given it to God. That's simple childlike faith. And then do what you know to do. Do the things that you already know what to do. Let God work in you. Like, God is really... do you know what? I know that God's going to really make this thing grow here. And I'm not going to be the one to do it. And God is the one that's going to make it grow. Through the ones that listen. Through the ones that take the encouragement I'm giving tonight and not balking it in their mind. Not balking it in their heart. Well, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. Oh, I like that. That was good, but I don't like that. The ones that take the whole message. You don't have to accept the messenger, but you can accept the message. You know what I mean? So that's the point. And if someone is delivering the right message from God, and the message is taken heed to, then that is going to be great blessings. Like, we're heralds, town criers, as well as messengers that come with the message. What's that saying? Don't shoot the messenger. He's just delivering the message. That's what you've got to think about, the message. Not me, the one that's giving you the message. But you've got to think about who the message has come from. And did it actually come from God? And if it comes from God, what have I got to do in my walk? What have I got to do in my personal life? And that's the thing. Like, so God is the one that will make it happen for you. Can you see? Lawrence Tor cannot make anything happen for you in your life. Lawrence Tor can encourage you. And Lawrence Tor can speak words to God from you. And he can also show you from the scriptures. All right? Okay, but how the things are going to happen is when you go to God with all your heart and with all your desires, and you forget your own problems and give your problems to God, and then just decide, no matter what's going on in my life, I will do what God wants me to do. I do the things that I need to do every day, my everyday living, but I'm going to do also what God shows me to do in my ministry and witness. And if it's from God, there will be fruit. God will make you fruitful. Now God says, look, I've met your needs. Now go and meet my needs. Go and speak my word. Go and reach out to those that are sat in darkness. And as you do that, I will bless you with the things that you need. As you make my desires your desires, then I will give you the desires of your heart. That's seeking God first. So, yeah, that's why I wanted to share this.